It's July 9th, 2013. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, police and firefighters ordered not to speak out about the Michael Hastings crash. Then, abortion activists hailing Satan as part of their message. Then, Chuck D of Public Enemy breaks down the state of America. All this and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight. Police firefighters ordered not to speak about Michael Hastings' crash. A journalist with San Diego 6 News has fresh evidence that there could be a cover-up surrounding the suspicious car crash death of Rolling Stone journalist Michael Hastings. Let's go to this clip.
Clearly, there are a couple things that stood out in my mind when I went up and visited the scene and visited law enforcement.
What stood out in your mind? You said you couldn't get the police report. They weren't giving that out.
Yeah.
So what else stood out in your mind?
Well, the fact that when you go to the L.A. Police Department, then you go to the fire department, and you go to the different agencies, they all said they couldn't comment, and some of them said they were told not to comment on the story.
That's Kimberly Dvorak, who says police and firefighters told her that they were ordered not to talk to the media about the car crash involving Hastings. She goes on to reveal that the military expert she spoke with also told her that the fire which consumed Hastings' Mercedes was an intensely hot inferno, not normally seen in car accidents. And in fact, later on, she goes on to speak about how Mercedes have acknowledged that it's very unlikely that one of their modern vehicles would burst into flames, explode in such an inferno. And yet the LAPD, which said case closed, no foul play within days of the incident, has not contacted Mercedes. They're not interested in it, even though it was a raging inferno. The car basically exploded. Extremely unlikely for a modern vehicle to do that, according to Mercedes. But the LAPD doesn't want to talk to them. And Dvorak, in this clip, also interviewed two physics professors who contradicted the notion that the engine, which was found 150 to 200 feet away from the vehicle, would have ended up behind the car, noting that its forward velocity would have ensured that it traveled in the same direction as the car under normal circumstances. So the fact that it's landed 150 feet behind the car in this high-speed crash is extremely unusual, according to these physics professors. And she goes on to suggest that the car could have been hacked and remote-controlled, as academic studies, which I cite in this article, have proven is fairly easily done. Of course, that premise was also raised recently by former counter-terrorism czar Richard Clark in an interview with the Huffington Post. So, as I said, the police ruled out foul play within days of the incident, yet refused to provide journalists with a copy of the police report, and indeed are now telling both firefighters and police officers there in LA not to talk to the media about this case. Add to this, of course, the fact that Hastings' colleagues, and indeed Hastings himself, in an email penned 15 hours before the crash, spoke of him being paranoid, under investigation by the feds, and working on, quote, the biggest story yet about the CIA. Of course, we had Joseph Biggs, the Army Sergeant, on the Alex Jones Show a couple of weeks talking about that. He was a close friend of Hastings. He said the same thing. He was working on this major story right before the crash. So we're not in the realm of conspiracy theory. Hastings' friends, his wife, are all asking these same questions, even as the LAPD apparently tries to lock down access to information about this case, the death of Rolling Stone journalist Michael Hastings. We'll continue to track it as more and more suspicious pieces of evidence point towards foul play, even as the LAPD locks down the information. Abortion activists caught on camera possessed by spooky Hail Satan chant in Texas state capitol, reports Mike Adams out of naturalnews.com. You may have heard that Texas is seeking to outlaw late-term abortions, the kind of abortions that kill a nearly full-grown baby who has eyes, ears, hands, a beating heart, and can experience pain. The idea that such pre-born human beings cannot be murdered at all will infuriate pro-choice abortion activists, and the true inspiration for their desire to kill babies has finally emerged. And basically, this clip shows a pro-life activist giving a speech opposing late-term abortions. But as you'll see, she's soon drowned out by these bizarre chants of Hail Satan from pro-abortion demonstrators. Let's go to the clip.
Herman Gosnell butchered women, butchered children. We had carpets down in Houston.
Douglas Carpet.
Butchering women, butchering children.
It's being covered up.
At the beginning of this year, February, 5 women died. You think February had a Planned Parenthood in Delaware? You think you hear about that on the news?
No. And that goes on for another minute. There's actually a second clip where they're chanting and screaming Hail Satan while attempting to interrupt a chorus of Amazing Grace sung by the pro-life activists that were there. And after this hit the news, even Satan worshippers came out to distance themselves from the pro-abortion lobby. The UK Church of Satan tweeted, quote, "Unfortunate to see Satan's name used in such a diabolical manner." So apparently the butchering of 20-week-old children is too diabolical even for Satan, but it's considered a right by US abortion advocates. So this goes beyond the pro-choice, pro-life arguments. It's an insight into the minds of those who would kill babies after 20 weeks, despite the fact, as we know from technology that's some 10 years old now, babies show obvious signs of consciousness before that. They're making finger movements at 15 weeks. They're yawning at 18 weeks. And by 26 weeks, they're laughing and crying inside the womb. But I guess to advocate butchering them Kermit Gosnell style, as these Hail Satan pro-abortion advocates were chanting there in the Texas state capitol, is really to be expected from a crowd that we've learned is nihilistic, consumed by moral relativism, and apparently, as this clip illustrates, are, in fact, Satan worshippers. Moving on. Bizarre video shows cloud instantly changing shape. Let's take a look at this bizarre clip of a cloud appearing to instantly change shape in the sky. You can see it now as I'm talking. And it appears to be filmed outside. It doesn't appear to be distorted through any kind of glass screen. There seems to be a light source behind the cloud making it pulsate and instantly morph into these new weird shapes within the blink of an eye. What's the explanation? Well, theories have certainly ranged, if you read on the forums, from geoengineering to HARP to hoax video editing. But according to meteorologist Walter Lyons, the clip shows the behavior of a static electric charge inside the cloud. This is what he said to Discover magazine. What you are seeing is sunlight reflecting off ice crystal faces that are constantly being oriented by the developing electric field just above the cumulonimbus top. Then there is a discharge in the cloud and the field collapses momentarily and the crystals begin to realign again. Then this just keeps happening over and over. That's what the expert said. Whether that will satisfy some of the people in the forums, some of our viewers who are having their own interpretation of this footage, remains to be seen. But it's something I've never seen before, and it's a fascinating clip. Moving back now to geopolitical news. Heart-eating cannibal demands Obama send weapons. This is again out of Infowars.com. The Syrian rebel fighter who infamously cut out and bit into the heart of a dead soldier has threatened to commit even worse atrocities if the Obama administration doesn't send the FSA heavy weaponry and impose a no-fly zone over Syria, as we know they've promised to do. In an interview with the BBC, FSA fighter Abu Sakar, who prompted international condemnation back in May when video emerged of him cutting off and eating the internal organ of a Syrian army soldier as his comrades chanted Allah Akbar, is unrepentant for his actions. Pillorying the West for doing nothing to help the rebels, Sakar complains, quote, "If we don't get help, a no-fly zone, heavy weapons, we will do worse than I did. You've seen nothing yet." So, in this interview with the BBC, the guy who cuts out the heart and eats it is actually threatening to escalate his atrocities if Obama doesn't send weapons to him and his jihadist friends, which they've promised to do. The weapons are on their way. But first, we know from a report by Reuters, which came out last night, there are congressional committees attempting to delay the delivery of weapons to these individuals who like to, you know, barbecue people's heads, ransack Christian churches, rape and murder 15-year-old girls, throw people off buildings, amongst other glorious acts, all in the name of democracy. These are the people that your taxpayer funds are going to support in Syria in the name of freedom and democracy. But as far as pretending there's any kind of distinction between the quote, good rebels and the bad rebels, which of course they tried that tactic for months, the jig is now certainly up. We've spoken about, you know, on the show many times, these people are on tape. We've got them on tape glorifying the 9/11 attacks, burning American flags, even calling their fighting unit the Osama bin Laden Brigade, vowing to suicide bomb Europe and America once they're finished in Syria. And yet there's still a debate about whether or not these people are terrorists and whether we should arm them. These are the people that your government wants to give anti-aircraft missiles to, even though they're also on tape trying to bring down commercial airliners with anti-aircraft missiles. So will the White House be able to arm the terrorists in Syria before the Syrian army manages to wipe them all out? Well, time will only tell, but according to the heart-eating cannibal, the glorious freedom fighter under the FSA, if those weapons don't come soon, then the atrocities are only going to escalate. So as Obama prepares to arm the Syrian rebels, support stateside for him continues to wane, and here's recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Chuck D from Public Enemy with an interview. So let's go to this clip right now.
All right.
What's up,
nice
man?
To meet you. All right. How you doing? What's going on?
Professor Griff, I'm Chuck D.
You've been educating people for years on the power, fighting the power. What do you think is the biggest source of power in the world today?
The biggest source of power, and I think, you know, Griff could probably attest this, knowledge of self and knowledge of your surroundings. But if you have knowledge of yourself but you don't know your surroundings, you're kind of like at the beginning of the same old boat again. The enemy is always three steps ahead. We're trying to gravitate our people to at least be a step behind, because the enemy is treacherous, and they come in all shapes, forms, alien spirits.
Right, and I think we just doing our part through the medium of music, and we just chose hip hop as the medium which to fight that particular battle. That's all.
And we knew that. We knew that once we was able to do that in hip hop, they would see it as fertile ground to go back into it, to use it to flip the beat. But you know, that wears off. That wears off. You have to have the perseverance to keep going on. Not to say that you win the game, but you got to make sure that people don't lose.
Do you have a comment on like the current, some of the current like big acts out there that kind of look like they've sold their soul and they've even admitted it in certain interviews?
The big acts have never been attached to the people in the first place. That's why you don't see tours. If you did see a tour, you would never see them interact with their public anyway. It's something like it's almost like a ghost. So one thing I think I learned from Griff is that you always got to beware of ghosting. There's a lot of ghost images where people were believing ghosts in the sky, the ground, some book. You gotta try to get to the physicality of something, even the enemy, and break them down to where they are as a being. They might not be a human being, but they are being, and their whole goal is to be inside you. So that's one of the things you want to use.
Tell them about that recent going overseas, playing right across the way from the Rolling Stones. Oh, and then looking at the press the next day, and you know.
Well, we played right in the shadow of the Rolling Stones, and many people, this was at Glastonbury, biggest festival in the world. And, you know, I mean, this country got all kinds of games. My crew had to go half. Half the crew could go because we couldn't get out of the States. We played it. We made an impact. Everywhere else, of course, they acknowledged it back in the United States. Not that they didn't acknowledge, but they acknowledged everything else except for what we try to put down. I mean, simple things like, don't be a dumb motherfucker, smart-ass phone. Simple thing. Don't have your phone smarter than you. A simple thing. So if they're looking at that as being cultural contraband, then it lets you know where we're at in a society. You know, I mean, the whole thing was, the New World Order was to blanket the world in a philosophy that makes everybody sheep.
Right. How do you think Obama's going to fare in this?
Who?
Obama on his way out.
Yeah. Obama was on the way out on the way in. But it was something for those that had some kind of level of consciousness to use that time, if he's in there, to buy some time before a real enemy really comes down, or I should say a thorough enemy that don't give a f-, like basically sending people to gas chambers legally. You know, Obama was enough of a facade to be able to say, well, I got my senses. Let me get my cipher together, my surroundings together, not fall into the hype. When he's out of there, then the next one that comes in, the question is, are we ready for the next person that comes in, whether he's pretends to be an ally or whether he's a straight-out adversary like the Bush, when Bush was in, he was a straight-out adversary and told you.
Yeah,
that was some Bush.
So like, we have to look around at our people. That's one thing we try to do in the music. I mean, look, it's real simple. We want to use our music to unite the human spirit. We believe that culture brings us together as human beings and defies all governments. We feel all governments are wicked. So governments like to split people up, categorize human beings, divide so they can conquer them. There's people that don't even think that they can see the world because they need permission to see the planet Earth. A visitor to the planet Earth, right? Music allows you to be a visitor to the planet Earth way before the internet. That's why, you know, where we're at, just culturally, just being able to put the good seed in. So a lot of times when they say Republican means anti this, anti that, we're just anti-ignorant. We've always been about the good seed. So somebody has to clearly define themselves as the bearer of the bad seed and the bad fruit that go against Public Enemy. And there hasn't been anybody out there musically or even in a country that has a clear definition of why we're the bad seed and they're the good seed. No, we are a bunch of musicians just playing harmonica. I'm glad people have less acknowledgement getting some credit, like my man Professor Griff. And he instituted a lot of things in rap music and hip hop that were unprecedented and still not duplicated to this day. You know, and you know, it's good to see people that have worked all these years, whether it's production like Hank Shockley, Gary G. Wiz, S1Ws, everybody to be acknowledged in it, and to keep it going on. You know, people want to be appreciated for their effort. Not that everybody was looking for it. We wasn't looking for it. We came, we felt appreciative, you move on. And like I said, if we could take that one, if it was a one trophy, and we could break it in 10,000 pieces, you best believe we'd be still handing them out.
Next story, U.S. government secret move to hide files on the Osama bin Laden raid. This is an article by Mike Krieger. And he basically points out that the story behind the Osama bin Laden raid has been one contradiction after another, as we've documented on this show. Of course, we've had strong indications and testimony for years that bin Laden, in fact, died shortly after 9/11, and this was followed by a series of dodgy video and audio tapes, many of which were questioned in terms of their authenticity by respected academic bodies and other figures. You remember even Walter Cronkite, the famous news broadcaster, accused the Bush administration of staging the 2004 Osama bin Laden videotape, which came out right before the elections and was in fact credited by some as securing that election for George W. Bush over John Kerry. So we've had the, you know, the speculation about the Marfan syndrome, Osama bin Laden being on kidney dialysis, numerous reports that he had died shortly after 9/11. Then we have the so-called raid itself, the May 2011 raid on his compound in Pakistan, and his supposed burial at sea, you know, getting rid of the body quicker than Tony Soprano would, the refusal by the White House to release the images of the corpse, and of course the hoax story about bin Laden using his wife as a human shield, which came out immediately after the raid, later was proven to be complete nonsense. So now we have this. the Associated Press reports, the nation's top special operations commander ordered military files about the Navy SEAL raid on Osama bin Laden's hideout to be purged from Defense Department computers and sent to the CIA, where they could be more easily shielded from ever being made public. Secretly moving the records allowed the Pentagon to tell the Associated Press that it couldn't find any documents inside the Defense Department that AP had requested more than 2 years ago, and could represent a new strategy for the US government to shield even its most sensitive activities from public scrutiny. So, you know, taking the NSA's line of logic, if you've got nothing to hide, then why not release the records? Why have we heard fanciful tales about bin Laden, the latest being this bizarre story about him being stopped for speeding in Pakistan, yet no hard evidence that any kind of raid which took out bin Laden actually took place in that area of Pakistan? And now an attempt to hide what really happened from public scrutiny by having files removed from the Defense Department computers and shifted over to the CIA. You know, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to accept there's something about the supposed bin Laden raid which the White House doesn't want you to know about. Moving on to technology news now. This is out of Natural News. 3D printing machines are printing bananas and mushrooms for consumption in space. Astronauts headed for outer space might be bringing mechanical chefs along in the form of 3D printers capable of printing food from efforts by scientists at Cornell University. Gel-like substances called hydrocolloids, altered with varying flavored agents, are producing food with different tastes and textures when printed. This could eliminate waste and space occupied by pre-packaged food containers. And did you know that this team at Cornell University has already been successful in printing fake bananas, mushrooms, and mozzarella cheese that closely resembles and tastes like the real thing? That's how far they've got along with this amazing 3D printing technology. And you know, given Moore's Law, before we know it, everyone's going to have a home kitchen 3D printer. Within 5 to 10 years, Cornell's talking about the fact that the technology will be perfected to the point where you won't even be able to tell the difference between the real and the printed food. And eventually, of course, according to futurists, we're going to be printing entire houses and vehicles. As we saw, though, with Homeland Security targeting defense distributed with a 3D firearm, when people use this technology as a tool of self-empowerment, the state doesn't like it. Same with the internet. Same with any emerging technology. The technology itself is neutral. It can be used for good or bad. But the establishment wants to seize and maintain the power to decide who can use it at all. That wraps it up for the news. But we're going to cross to Alex Jones now for a special interview with Adam Kukesh, who, of course, staged a bold open carry protest in Washington, D.C. this past July 4th. So here's Alex with Adam Kukesh.
Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Because there's a war on for your mind. That has been our motto here at InfoWars for my 18 years of battle against the globalist. And now we see the open announcements of global, private, corporate tyranny over our governments. That's what the New World Order is. It's an unaccountable, private combine of organized crime engaged in corporate takeovers of nation states. And the conscious attempt to abolish basic rights and fundamental liberties. InfoWars.com is not just leading the charge against this here in the U.S. or North America. We are leading the charge worldwide. And that's because our listeners, our viewers, our supporters, fellow freedom lovers like you across the planet resonate with our message of liberty and telling it like it is. And that's why for the last 2 years especially, I have thrown everything I've got, my time, my energy, our backup capital, everything into really trying to awaken the sleeping giant that is humanity. And that's why the July issue that just came in a few days ago is so important. We've already sold about half the stock we have of it at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 in bulk. It covers the entire NSA spy grid, how it ties in worldwide, how it's not about stopping terrorists, but about suppressing and dominating and controlling the free press and political opposition. And in this magazine, we don't just have three free bumper stickers like I did a few months ago. We have 10 bumper stickers, four full-size ones with amazing messages guaranteed to get people thinking like America has been occupied by globalist forces. Infowars.com. Listen to Alex Jones at Infowars.com. Infowars.com. Forbidden information. Listen to Alex Jones. Infowars.com. And then on top of it, six medium-sized bumper stickers with the message as well. These are key to post in legal and lawful areas on your book bag, your computer, your car, or to give friends and family. I have printed 500,000 of these bumper stickers. Only half of this month's run of magazines has them. So when you purchase them in bulk or you're a 12-month subscriber, you will get the special issue. And I can't afford to do this every month, so it's going to be quite a while until we do this again. Please take advantage of this. Buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and family and encourage them to get these bumper stickers out, because with 500,000 stickers, we can reach tens of millions of people with the message of truth. They want to collectivize us. They want to bankrupt us. They want to drive us into their arms to control us. They want to dumb us down. But the sleeping giant that is free humanity is awakening. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com and to get a 12-month subscription or to give a gift subscription. Imagine 12 of these coming to your friends or family's door to wake them up. Or to give a gift subscription to the local police department or your local congressman or woman. This is how we're going to affect change, voting with our dollars and voting with our time. Again, visit InfoWarsStore.com today to subscribe, to get the magazine in bulk, or to give a gift subscription, or to give yourself a subscription to wake up friends and family. I am all in. I am committed 110% to not mince words and to not back off and to boldly confront the globalist. So I want to thank all of you that have supported us in the past, and I want to encourage all of you out there who may be on the fence that know this information is true but have been scared to take action. You had better be scared of not taking action and letting this monstrous system come to fruition. Now is the time to commit. Now is the time to say which side of history you're on. Now is the time to stand against the globalist and the New World Order. And regardless of whether you get this July issue, this July 4th Resistance to Tyrants issue, spread the word about liberty, resist corruption in your area. Millions of us doing little things can move mountains together. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars team. Johnny Appleseed was born during the Revolutionary War. He's not just a legend. And in more than five states, he introduced apples that had not even been grown in the colonies. Later, the seeds from plants he planted and cultivated and some of the varieties he developed spread across the United States. And it was Johnny Appleseed teaching the colonists and then the new Americans after we won independence the love of planting fruit trees that introduced that idea to North America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Become the Johnny Appleseed of your community with seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com.
The simple act of planting fruits and vegetables and then tending them and taking care of them and then sharing them with friends and family is a revolutionary act against tyranny. The globalists, first and foremost, do not want us to be self-sufficient. The crony anti-free market capitalist, the fascist, are using socialism and collectivism to shut down societies. Stalin in Poland and in Ukraine and other areas, starved on record more than 10 million people over 5 years by not letting them grow their own crops and collectivizing them. Mao killed between 65 million and 80 plus million people doing the same thing. The UN says they will use food as a weapon. They use genetic evil to attack the earth, and major GMO companies have been caught going into growth belts around the world, even where GMO is illegal, and planting seeds everywhere to infect the genetics of the original crops. Almost all of the thousands of varieties of Mexican corn has been infected. They are in a genetic war against everyone. That's why we have to get these seeds and not just plant them on our own gardens and not just give them as gifts to friends and family to plant spring and summer and fall gardens. I'm calling on you to go out into the green belts, to go out into the areas and plant secret gardens. No, not of marijuana, but of the hundreds and hundreds of incredible high-quality vegetables and herbs and fruit plants that are here. Lemons and oranges, the list goes on and on. They will grow plum trees, grape trees. They will grow almost everywhere in the U.S. We can literally, not just buying these products from InfoWarsStore.com, but from wherever you get them. This aggressive program literally just came to me one morning when I woke up about 4 a.m. realizing that we've got to counter their genetic war against us with original, real crops developed over eons on this planet. We have the lowest prices. We bought it in the biggest bulk that some of these companies have ever seen to ship this directly to you from the InfoWars Command Center. We stand for life. We stand for liberty. We stand for self-sufficiency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, click on the Seed Center, and as of taping this, we have the 7 top respected brands. We intend to continue to do research and find other companies, other specialties, other varieties to really take action.
The InfoWars Store Seed Center has the largest online selection of heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Check out these products from our newest supplier, Heirloom Organics.
The Medicine Garden for a natural remedy.
The Tea Garden that contains every important tea herb you can grow.
Fruit Lovers with 12 varieties.
And the Tobacco Pack, additive and pesticide free.
Join the gardening revolution today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a revolutionary action we're asking you to take. Plant seeds everywhere today. Nurture them, bring them to fruit, and pass on the knowledge to others. Become human again. Discover your roots in the soil. And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
We will not be silent. We will not obey. We will not allow our government to destroy our humanity. We are the final American Revolution. See you next Independence Day.
And that clip was on the morning of July 4th, 2013, in downtown D.C., just a few blocks from the Capitol, where Adam Kokesh went ahead with his one-man march on D.C. To defile their unconstitutional gun ban that was overturned almost 5 years ago in D.C. versus Heller. And I had a chance to talk to Adam yesterday live on the radio for about 20 minutes about why he went and did that and the fact that his idea to have a march against the globalist occupation of the U.S., or in his words, an end of the federal government. Was that successful across the country? I would say yes, it was. So he's calling, I guess, for another move towards informing the public to do this coming up in 2014. And then Adam also brought up the point that, hey, Alex, you know, don't speak for us here and say that we just want to re-upload the old republic and still have a federal government. We want to devolve back to the states or evolve towards more regional governments. Look, my whole issue here is I'm not telling people what we should do. I'm not saying specifically that everybody should follow my ideas. I'm just pointing out our federal government has been conquered by a bunch of foreign offshore banks that are establishing classical tyranny in this nation. Sure, last year it made national headlines. I called for a second American revolution against the globalist to have the states withdraw out of the fraudulent federal government and then make a decision on what we constitutionally wanted to do or what the people wanted to do. So in a way, what I'm calling for historically from a research perspective is pretty similar to what Adam's calling for. So I want to let him today really flesh out what he's calling for. I'm just trying to get a debate going about all of this, and that's why we have him on. That's why we've tried to give him a forum here with our audience to discuss it. And it is a complex issue. This is not, you know, simple stuff like Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman distraction in the media, or the latest kidnapping. This is a real geopolitical situation we're talking about, because the United States, like it or not, is connected to this artificial globalism that's been created. And the globalist might also, this is one of my questions for Adam, use the breakdown of the occupation federal government as a pretext to come in and try to take over the states. So we'll get Adam Kokesh's take on all of that. Adam, thanks for joining us. You heard my diatribe there. Present to us your case, exactly what you're saying specifically, and what type of system you're putting forward, or the type of debate that you're trying to foster.
Sure, Alex. Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate the chance for this more relaxed conversation and talking about these deeper issues. And as you put it, the geopolitical issues that do come into play when we talk about the revolution that is impending in America. And I just want to reiterate, first of all, what we're saying, and I think you would join me in this, is that we can do things the easy way or the hard way. And the hard way is to keep our heads buried in the sand and wait for the inevitable collapse points and the tumultuous decline of America that may have some violence and pull the rug out from underneath a lot of people in a very dangerous way. The easy way is let's pay attention, let's take drastic action that's appropriate to the situation, and let's really take advantage of this opportunity to move humanity forward. We are calling for the abolition of the United States federal government, and what we replace that with is state governments. And it's not that it's to replace everything that the federal government is doing. We're not suggesting that there be 50 NSAs and so on, but that we have a return to that at least local kind of sense of self-government that we once had in this country, and to move humanity forward, because in the ultimate progress, what we're looking for is an evolution towards self-governance. And I believe that that is the inevitable course of human history, and that is our destiny as a species, to achieve self-governance, to achieve a state in which every human being decides that they want to be the alpha of their own lives. And so when we talk about the ultimate goal of abolishing all government, it's to replace it with self-rule and a voluntary, peaceful society. So I understand the considerations for thinking that maybe there are advantages to being a part of a larger government or a bigger collective, but really the way we make progress is by moving power locally and moving it down in the direction of the individual. And so that's what this is about for me. I wouldn't want to cut out 97% of a cancer and say, well, let's just get back to constitutional government, because it's going to grow back. And democracy itself is what we're talking about getting past here. This idea that human beings should pick leaders for each other, and that a majority, by virtue of just being the majority, can come up with an excuse through that and through a government to impose its will on the minority or everybody else, as you know, leads to the kind of corruption we see today. And I would say that that's inherent in the system, because politicians will inevitably promise something other than what they're going to deliver, which is the special interests that they plan to serve. And that's what ends up happening every single time. And until people say, well, we're not going to give this power arbitrarily to any kind of leadership, we're not going to demand our own self-governance, we're going to have all of these problems. But right now, we see this particular level of government at the United States federal level coming to some dangerous points of collapse. And I think we can really move people to get behind this simple call. And that's why we're working towards this for next year. What we did this past Independence Day was fundamentally change the conversation by starting people to talk about this, but we're building forces for next year. And one of the most important things people have to get over, Alex, and I think this is an important one for a lot of people that come to this movement through love of country, through love of their fellow human beings, that it's not about patriotism. It's not about love for a collective or love that ends at borders. It's about love for humanity itself, love for liberty and love for oneself, and the pride of an individual saying, I don't need to be part of a collective to have a healthy sense of myself.
Adam, looking at this, I understand the idea to get towards local government and then individual government. I understand that anything centralized ends up becoming corrupt and bad historically. I'm just trying to get the public to awaken to the globalist, and the quickest path to that is to point out our country has been occupied basically by these foreign forces that are completely above any law and who are the ultimate socialist feeding off of corporate welfare. And so I understand your whole point of the federal government is completely shot, completely corrupt, completely full of corruption, and so let's just get rid of the whole thing. My only point is that the world is so conditioned and the U.S. is so debilitated and we live in such an artificial construct where our very culture has been rewritten into these systems of collectivism that it's like asking Helen Keller to go out on her first day of being able to make contact with humanity and climb Mount Everest. And I understand that the bold stroke sometimes works, but a lot of times it also misses. And so there's all these specifics of how something would be done. I see a plan in the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution, to absolutely knock out almost all of what the globalists have done. And people respect that and understand that and know that. I just don't see us transported to this ultra-libertarian or anarchic capitalist system you're talking about overnight. I mean, what would be the process, or what do you expect to happen now if there was some type of, you know, Arab Spring here, and then 3 years from now the country is an absolute wreck with all these different power forces fighting with each other in the streets? I mean, in every case in history, this will end in a giant physical war.
Well, I think that's one of the great opportunities that we have in the American political system with this concept of sovereign states coming together to form the United States. We can simply get rid of this extraneous upper level of government entirely and still have the basic fundamental concept for how society is organized in government without that higher level of corruption. But power corrupts, and any power that exists has that potential. Anytime people say, well, we're going to abdicate our power of self-governance, we're going to vote for elected representatives, then you have this opportunity for corruption. And you're absolutely right that if we have it at the state level, yes, there will be corrupt state governments. But if we nationalize that corruption, you only create a greater distance from the people and greater centers of power that allow for more corruption. But to answer your bigger question, government is always a product of the paradigm. That is, whatever people believe is what determines what form of government they will have to put up with. And you can look at this through the course of human history. We have actually gone from, you know, law of the jungle, where whoever could pick up the biggest rock was in charge. And maybe that was the best thing at the time. And if you were if you weren't the alpha male of your pack, it was in your best interest for survival to say, well, he's threatening me, I'm just going to go along. He can bring in the biggest game. You know, I'm going to survive. That's what I'm going to do. But we've evolved in many ways past that. I think people are seeing that. So it's this paradigm shift towards self-government. And I think you've done a lot to really awaken people to the reality of what they are suffering from as a result of the combination of that and the modern technology that's available to modern governments. But what people really need to be woken up to now is the philosophy behind this and what they need to demand for themselves and how they should live as free and sovereign individuals. And if you endorse the ideas that got us to this point, that a democracy or even a constitutional republic, you know, is an okay way to create a center of power. And you know what? I love the American founding historically. I think it is an incredible step forward in terms of human progress. But the next step is not from, you know, this current, whatever you want to call it, back to that. It's to a new form. And in order to be a true revolution, it really has to be something that is genuinely new. And in this case, it's this idea of self-governance. And I think that's the paradigm shift that's coming right now. And as much as you can say that the Constitution would be great compared to what we have today, or if our government actually followed it, it's still prone to the same fallacies that got us to this point that we're suffering from now. And this idea, again, under the Constitution, that we should be picking leaders for each other,
sure,
is the window for corruption.
Sure. Let me just briefly address that. A pure democracy is where 51%, for those that don't know out there that are new viewers, call to kill the other 49. It's done because the majority voted. We're a republic with a Bill of Rights, and Constitution, and then within that framework that is the greatest system ever developed so far, we're in trouble because we've allowed it to be abridged, undermined, and destroyed, because it's only a document that a very moral, active, informed people can basically animate, to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson and other founders. So I'm not calling for two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. We know that we have an absolutely criminal foreign banking cartel that has taken over the federal government, expanded it unconstitutionally, and is now using it as an occupation force and bragging they've done that, and they've done that in Europe. They admit, we've taken over, you will pay all of our derivatives debts, we're going to break up your families, we're going to build giant prisons, we're going to enslave you, ah ha ha. I mean, this is flaming tyrants. But then you get the Peter Thiels and people that say they're libertarians coming in and going, yeah, we'll have free cities out in the ocean and free subsidies within the U.S. And Glenn Beck says, you know, they'll build a community that'll have enough power to lobby like the big mega banks do to be outside the taxes and outside the system. So it's the city states again going back basically to feudalism. But then if you expand out from that, how do you deal with the globalists that already came through the corrupt government and had the government take the taxpayer paid for infrastructure of power plants, waterways, reservoirs, the institutions, the infrastructure? It's already being transferred to the globalists who aren't free market. They call it libertarian. It's theft. It's fraudulent deals. And so we get rid of the federal government, and now it's a bunch of private security forces running around that already took the country over. I say we take the federal government back, arrest all these criminal globalists. I mean, what structure do we use of grand juries to bring them to justice and literally have our Nuremberg trials? That's what we have to have, and then have a new constitutional convention decide, do we abolish the federal government entirely, or what do we do? You say, well, that's groups of people voting on what happens. The average person out there, Adam, has a 20-point IQ reduction from the fluoride on record, as literally a foaming-at-the-mouth zombie who can't even wipe their own ass. So I'm asking you, these people don't even know how to feed themselves. I mean, it's much more sophisticated than the system that you're even talking about. I mean,
That's a great question. Absolutely. It's a very important question, and I appreciate the way that you posed that, Alex. But I would beg to differ just a little bit on the understanding of the Constitution, you know, in contrast to a direct democracy, because it's still fundamentally in the same category. If you have a direct democracy, as you say, 51% vote to kill 49%, you still need an enforcement class to carry that out. You need the support system to make that possible. You need the general consent of the public to carry that out. And what we see, even under the Republic, as we have today, if you obviously it's not a republic, but under this system it has devolved, once you grant those powers of democratic representation, that it eventually comes out to, how do we allow criminals to get away with as much as society will tolerate? How do we take away the way that society actually corrects for those injustices? And that's the result of the Constitution. That's the result of endorsing these policies. Now, as for the average American, you're absolutely right. And that's why what we're calling for is to elevate the average American. And I think the work that you've done in educating people about fluoride has been absolutely essential in that. And I think the way that people are waking up to self-governance is key in this. But in terms of the how, I'm really not too concerned about the exact mechanics, and I'm really not too concerned about redistributing the wealth. And I think one of the things that we have to acknowledge if we want real freedom is that we're going to have to give up some materialism. We're not going to ever have perfect justice. We're not never going to have a perfect redistribution of wealth based on, well, that was, you know, granted by government unjustly to some private interest or to some corporation or whatever the case may be. But that's also one of the advantages of what I'm proposing, is that property can be reclaimed by states and local governments in the process of decentralization. I think really this idea of localizing power is the best mechanism of doing it. Obviously, one of the things we have to do is get people off fiat currencies. Getting rid of the federal government means getting rid of the dollar as the world reserve currency, getting rid of the dollar entirely. And I think that's a key step in the right direction. But when it comes to the imbalance of power and the imbalance of wealth that exists, some of it is just going to have to be, you know, we're just going to have to chalk it up as a loss. And I think if we want to move forward, we're going to have to give up some of that petty desire for perfect justice. However, there is a good mechanism that gets to a point where people are at least allowed equitable access to natural resources. And one of the ways that you could do that, when you get rid of the federal government and have the states reclaim all the federally held property within their borders when they secede, is they can then relocalize it again to the county level. And at some point, you simply issue shares in corporations that are holding all of that property, and you allow people to sell them or trade them. And that's how you get to that privatization. And it's not going to be perfect, Alex. And this is a very screwed up world we live in, as you do a great job of educating people about, but we have to accept some of the past mistakes in order to move past them without dwelling on this. Because
I understand, but the way the complexity of the world works, the way the complexity of the world works is that the organized gangs, the big corporate gangs that set up the New World Order, the ones that have occupied the government.
Yes.
What's going to happen to them? Because you're going to get rid of the federal government. They've already bought everything up and taken everything over through the federal government unduly. So now we just get a global government? Because let me tell you what the banksters are doing. They're actually getting rid of government in Europe because they already used it to take everything over, and now they're the government. So I trade out the feds for Goldman Sachs?
No, because all of their, and this is again something that is taken care of by the process of localization, and what you're pointing to in Europe is often challenging the sovereignty of the states of Europe in favor of the European Union control, and it's still fundamentally, and Alex, you understand the mechanisms of this, the way those people work, is if it wasn't for the coercion of the government enforcement class, what they're talking about wouldn't be possible. And so when you can have...
Oh no, like, we know wildcat economies grow at 10 to 15% a year, globalist economies are basically negative except in certain sectors. Look, I agree with a true laissez-faire, open, free society. The problem is that they always have a version of laissez-faire that are these big insiders who only want laissez-faire for them and nobody else.
Right, and if there is part of this localization process that I'm describing that includes reclaiming property from corrupt corporations that have benefited unjustly from government, and a state government at the point of secession decides, hey, there's a facility, there's a power plant, there's something, there's whatever it is that's in our state that was gained unjustly, it can be reclaimed by the state.
And then what finds that? The state courts?
Yeah, like I said, it's not perfect, but it's a move in the right direction.
Oh, no, listen, now you're talking. They've shut down 2,000-plus power plants the last 5 years that are totally clean so that the jobs can move to China where the globalists have their insider deals. That's on record. So we arrest the people that run the corporations that did that and lobbied for it. That's pure organized crime, and we turn those damn power plants on. See, now you're talking.
Yeah, see, we take away all these mechanisms of control here, Alex, and the global...
Hey, wait a minute. These guys ain't going to give up, buddy. They're going to be offshore with legions of hitmen. They're going to send in here to kill us. So I'm saying, how do we organize to stop them?
This is the important point here, Alex, because where they get their legions of hitmen now is through government. The private corporations...
But they're going to be offshore bases. Any country that tries to go free... They will then attack from every angle. I'm saying we're not doing this in a vacuum. That's why the founders believed we had to have a limited government.
Well, they also believed that the greatest threat to freedom was a standing army and that the greatest defense was a well-armed population that refused to be oppressed.
I agree.
That's what we're working towards. The reason the Japanese didn't invade the mainland was because they'd find a rifle behind every blade of grass. And what we're proposing is a population that refuses to be subjected to tyranny. And when you get to that point, you can't be invaded.
Well, I know this. We're in the clutches of the globalists. Can you agree with me that we're not even talking about the federal government and that it is more popular to say we have an occupied globalist government by banksters?
Absolutely. Let's take the federal government as it exists away from them.
Absolutely. Did you read... I'm not bragging about it, but I did a lot of research into it. A lot of constitutional lawyers have read it. They said it's very constitutional, that it's a very smart plan that the founders would have come up with. Well, that's why, because I researched what they did. I mean, did you read what I put out last year, my call for a second American Revolution?
I only saw parts of it in the news. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying, I don't think, and I can't blame you because I'm not that articulate sometimes on the air. I think the plan you're talking about and my plan, which is just a constitutional plan, is very, very similar. I just want to have a debate about the fact that we've been occupied and captured like Vichy France, and that after we've kicked the globalists out, that I think the uproar that would come out of people discovering what happened, I think you might actually get what you're talking about.
I think there's only a slight difference here, Alex, really, and I think this conversation has really gotten us honed in on this minor tactical difference between what we are talking about, and where you are saying, well, if we do this and we create this mechanism still at the federal level, we can correct certain problems. And I agree. Your plan would have that advantage. If you said we're gonna reclaim the federal government and we're gonna use it for justice and we're gonna do X, Y, and Z, the only disadvantage of that and the danger in that is then you are still relying on a great central authority that will and can be corrupted.
So you're saying I shouldn't use the Ring of Mordor. You're saying it will always go bad.
What I am saying, what you are proposing should happen, except it should be done with ruthless localization, pushing the power down, and all of the aims that you are looking for can be achieved at the state or more local levels.
Well, you know, every time you're on, I see comments and stuff by kind of collectivists saying, well, what about all the federal money? They really don't get that money's
what
local
money.
Yeah, it's all fiat, exactly, but that's energy symbols, energy stolen from the states, expropriated to basically a globalist crime syndicate, and then they give us a little bit back with strings attached.
Right. And, it's disgusting that people don't get that, but you're right. It's collectivists who believe in the economic fallacies of a central government, of Keynesianism, essentially, that, you know, the government can create wealth out of thin air. And, you know, just today, I'm sure you covered the New York Police Department gas attack, or, you know, $3.4 million to study how gas moves through the subway system in New York. And what's offensive to me about that is not that it's used to scare the American people or to make you think, oh, you need government to protect you.
Sure, it's a psyop.
False threat. No, but it's $3.4 million that if not spent by government would be spent by the people to meet real human needs.
Well,
and to me, that's
And then it's given to a firm that's a buddy of the insiders. You know, it's, I mean, this whole complex. Well, look, it's clear. I see like twice the police I saw just 10 years ago driving home. The police literally act like, many of them, like they were just released from an insane asylum. Now the police in Texas pull you over without a warrant and shove their hand up your butt.
Well, Alex, let me just, if I may suggest, going back to the distinction between what we're proposing, the specific advantage of what I'm talking about, because when you say we're going to retake the federal government, you suggest then you need a national leader, you need some national management of this new government, you need everybody in the nation to somehow agree on a plan. What I'm suggesting of simply returning all of that authority immediately to the states has this great advantage of being able to unify people who are of vastly different opinions. They don't have to wake up. They don't have to agree with us philosophically. They don't have to think about what we are proposing or what we believe in if they know that they are going to get better governance the closer it is to them at the state level where it better reflects the needs of their communities.
Yeah, well, let me expand on that.
The national level.
Look, in the plan I put forward, that's just based on a lot of historical research and things that others have put out, great minds, I actually say nullification and that states should secede to point out that it is not even a real federal government. So I just end that debate. And then if the states decide, because we're now the people of the states, we're deciding that we want to get rid of the federal government, then there is a plan developed to do that. But in the process, we've already withdrawn our consent and checkmated them.
Well, let me ask Alex, if you saw that the 50 United States that we have today were completely independent, do you think there would be a possible political process for you to get 50 state governors to agree to the same thing, to come on board on the same plan? I think that's a much greater challenge, and it's very unrealistic. But it also suggests that we're going to get people back into this giant collective.
But we did it in 1789. I mean, maybe we wouldn't do that. The whole point is the Declaration of Independence says it's our right, our duty to abolish the forms we've become accustomed to.
1789 was a step backwards from the Articles of Confederation.
I agree with you.
Local autonomy.
Listen. Hey, I'm trying to go with something that I believe people would actually. We're already occupied by the New World Order, and they're trying to mop up the free press and shut down whatever's left. And in a way, your radical plan is great because it moves the Overton window so far towards liberty that then it makes my plan sound moderate. So in a way, we're kind of doing what the Marxists do. you know, where they say total communism, kill everybody, and then the socialist just goes, no, only collectivize 90%. You know, so, I mean, regardless, it's a good discussion to have. It's just that it's like Ron Paul has said, so much of the public is so collectivized and so sadly demoralized.
We don't have to challenge that even. All we have to convince them at this point is that the mechanism of the federal government is not in our best interest, and it would be pretty hard to argue against that now.
Let me get off the subject for a moment. What do you see happening as all the NSA spying comes out and as the government running Al-Qaeda now comes out? I'm not trying to toot my horn. It's just that everything I've talked about from my just straight-up analysis of the situation and the experts I talked to has now been proven.
Yes. I saw it coming, too. I'm sure your analysis goes way further back than mine, but I assumed since I was an activist in 2007 that everything was being recorded. And it's not hard. I mean, it's not that hard to predict when you see the technology available that governments are going to abuse.
Exactly. So the government's in a technological buildup against us, knowing that collectivism and centralization always fails. They've said, they call it the final revolution, where they're going to amass such tyranny we never escape. I mean, you read this stuff by Bertrand Russell and people. They really are crazy control freaks. My question is, how do you really see all this playing out, and what do you expect to come out of, you know, doing things like going down and locking and loading in front of the Capitol?
That's a great question, Alex, and it really does feel like we have the destiny of humanity in our hands right now, not just you and I, but all the people that are addressing these issues and are looking at this, and it does feel sometimes like it could go one of two directions, either to freedom or fascism. And I have such great faith in humanity, having seen how we have already progressed forward, that although we seem to go two steps forward, one step backwards, and we're in the middle of a big step backwards right now, I really believe we are on the verge of a major step forwards. But it's going to take a lot more, and it's going to take a certain awakening. But I believe that technology is fundamentally empowering, and as much as it empowers government and as far ahead as they can get, the distribution of that technology is also accelerating. I'm sure you've heard the analogy that, you know, with cell phones, that the technology that, the information capabilities that President Clinton had when he left office in 2001 are now surpassed by, you know, a Bushman in the desert with a smartphone in his hands. And in that sense, the technology is also distributed a lot faster. You know, it took, you know, decades before the printing press had a worldwide impact. So I believe that technology is empowering, and empowerment leads to liberty because it leads to the assertion of self-ownership. Now, just yesterday, to answer your original question about the spying, I went to the White House, and it was in between interviews I had in D.C. with, you know, the mainstream media ditto heads. And I took some time out to do some man-on-the-street interviews, and I wanted to ask people how they felt about being spied on, and my brilliant girlfriend suggested that I ask people for their cell phones. And so I went up to people, and it started with, hey, what's your name, where are you from, what are you doing here, and then, can I have your cell phone? I just put out my hand, and I interviewed at least a dozen people, and every single one of them questioned as he was handing me his cell phone, and I didn't answer, I just ignored it and kept going. Every single one of them handed me their cell phone, and I just started going through it. Oh, you've got a text from so-and-so? That sounds suspiciously terroristic. I'm going to have to put this in my pocket, take it back to my studio, and download it for you. You know, and we'll get it back. And, you know, it's for your own safety. It's for, you know, and humanity really, again, the paradigm determines the system of government. And also, there was one thing that Marx got very right, which was that technology determines systems of social organization more than any individual political will. So I really believe that with or without us, as individuals, humanity is evolving to this point. And when we get to this technological state where everybody has access to this technology, and remember, millions of people throughout America even don't have access to this technology, let alone know how to use it or apply it or to see the implications or to listen to great productions like the InfoWars Nightly News with it. But already, many people are waking up more than ever before because this technology allows people like you and I to do what
sure.
we're doing.
Sure. Well, what I've found the biggest issue is people are either awake or they're getting deeper in a trance. Medically, the brain waves are lower. The TV heads, especially mainline TV viewers, are in a suspended disbelief. And that's why, like a magician can say, you take a bite of this apple and it's really a potato, they taste an apple. The public is highly suggestible. And that's yes. how you or Mark Dice or my crew can go out and say, let's put all conservatives in FEMA camps for Obama. And if it's,
however, historically, think about how less open to suggestion humans are because of the knowledge available. Think back just a few thousand years. You could tell people that the Earth was flat, despite evidence that they could see right in front of them of the horizon disappearing. Sure. You could convince most of the human population.
Sure, Adam. What I'm getting at is that those people just took. You were confident. You said, "Give me your phone," and they did it. It's the same reason criminals come and say, "Give me your watch." Oh, the guy gave it to me, officer. And cops pull over and go, I'm going to search your car. I'm going to take a blood sample now. Yes, sir. I'm going to stick my hand inside your body. Yes, sir. I'm saying, what I'm seeing, Adam, is a breakaway.
It's still not nearly as bad as what we had just 60 years ago with the world wars. And I mean, even the wars now, the excuses are harder to get people to
fight. They would tell black people, you got to sit at the back of the bus.
Right. You can't convince people to enforce stuff like that anymore. And I think while you can say that the growth of government is continuing exponentially, largely because of technological reasons, industrialization, sure. Things like that, what you can convince people of is getting to be less and less.
No, I agree with you. I'm not giving a negative view. I'm saying there's a dichotomy. There's a purification process. You're either getting more mindless, more unconscious, or more awake, more informed.
Even then, I understand what you're saying. I think that's part of a temporary step backwards as people get fluoridated and dumbed down and obese and things like that. But even the dumbest, most propagandized American in that state can't be convinced that the world is flat. And I really believe that unless that was a universal thing, Alex, unless it was every last man, woman, and child in that state, you know, they can still look to people who are free, who are happier. And I think this is so important about my message personally, that being enlightened to these facts means you get to live better as a result. You know, if being a libertarian means you're going to be miserable, then you shouldn't be doing it.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's essential that people that are awake not just watch my show or your show, they go out and be leaders themselves. That is the absolute essential here.
Leaders by example, by living well.
Let me go back to something here at the end. Are you noticing, though, that more either police, where the rubber meets the road in government and the people, collectivism and the individual, either they're waking up and withdrawing their consent quietly, because I'm running into a lot of cops that are awake now more than ever, or they're going more insane. And like I said earlier, now they're going to, without warrant, stick their hands in our bodies? I mean, this really shows the logical fallacy of government worship, and how have they gotten so whacked out? What's your take on those videos that are coming out?
Oh, man, that is such a deep topic and a very important one, because the relationship of the government with the enforcement class and the general population really does serve as an important indicator about the status of government. And I think right now, with the size of government, they're able to significantly isolate people from the general population. But I've thought about this extensively in military terms, being a combat veteran myself. The only way that you could get troops to go and fire on innocent Iraqis was to dehumanize them, to separate them. And similarly, the police have to have that kind of mentality in order to commit these atrocities that they commit in the streets of America every single day. And there is that dehumanization that takes place. Oh, you're just a citizen. Oh, you're just a subject. That kind of thing. But again, I see the long-term trend here. And while there is a step backwards in many ways with the police state as we have it today, because the court system protects corrupt cops, encourages them to lie on the stand, we have the broader trend of connection with people. We have the broader trend of police accountability. I think we're coming to a point where everybody's going to have, you know, if not Google Glass or some equivalent, they're going to have that in their contact lenses or embedded in their eyeballs, and it's going to upload their entire lives to the cloud. And while if it's government that's in charge of that, it's a very dangerous thing. But if it's the people that have that as a means of accountability, I think it's going to go a long way to accountability for police officers.
Sure.
And if anything, I really do think, Alex, while we might see some individual incidents, I really believe we've hit the high water mark of what individual officers are capable of in America in terms of depravity.
Well, and it's causing a massive debate. And the power structure should notice, if Congress has a 10% approval rating, the mainstream media is hemorrhaging to death, Obama's poll numbers with his trendy under 30s is hemorrhaging. You can see the trend of history towards liberty. I agree.
Yes.
I'm stating the big battle is joined. All forces need to be on the field, not in the bleachers. This is historic. what is happening right now, and it's an incredible time to be alive. And I appreciate Adam Kokesh. I appreciate you joining us tonight, and I look forward to speaking to you in the future. And I tell you, what people can say whatever they want about you, that's bold to go into Mordor and load that shotgun and do all that. And I guess you haven't gotten any word yet from the forces of Mordor about your daring as a slave to bring a weapon into their spider hole.
I think they're afraid to give me any more publicity at this point, Alex, but I really appreciate the conversation. I think this is a very important one, but I hope when it comes down to it, you'll be in D.C. next Independence Day. Again, with or without me, this is going to happen, the same march, the same single call, and if it's the only step in my plan, it's still the first step in your plan to abolish the federal government, to have the state secede, reclaim federally held property, and start moving towards justice and eventual self-governance.
Oh, I do think the Western states should seize all federal property. Some states, they've
Let's
got like 90%, and the federal government doesn't even exist anymore. So on that, we agree. Let's kick the District of Criminals back to Europe where it came from, back to the New World Order. Let's kick that hive of scum out of here. Let's kick the private Federal Reserve out. Let's go after... You want to abolish the private Federal Reserve, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm focusing on that. That's the real amoeba that's entered the political brain that is the main force behind it. And after they're gone, listen, I'm happy to get rid of all of it. Because
most Americans have no idea how extensive the influence of the Fed is. But if they go, well, our money comes from the federal government, well, now we can have money come from state governments. And that's as much as they think about it. We can use that. We can work with that. We can get that consent. We can get that consensus from the American public.
Oh, I agree with all the technology we've got. We should be working literally to, I've had top engineers on, like Dr. Bob Bowman, former head of Star Wars. We should be working 5 hours a week living like kings. I mean, we'd already be on Mars if it wasn't for government standing in the way. I mean, it's incredible. Adam Kokesh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, folks. That's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Great job to the crew. Great job to you, the supporters and viewers of InfoWars Nightly News. If you have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, they're $5.95 a month. That is 11 people that can use that simultaneously with a username passcode. If you are a PrisonPlanet.tv member, today, share it with your friends and family. Ask friends and family, are they using it? Tell them to go watch the films in high def that are there, the expanded extras. We're going to premiere next week the documentary State of Mind, all of it. Operation Awaking the Sleeping Giant, use those PrisonPlanet.tv memberships. I mean, look at my crew. Look at the incredible still image they had of me in that first tile. The comedy level of what my crew does, that right there is just off the charts awesome. So, again, gold star for that one. Unbelievable. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, bottom line, become a PrisonPlanet.tv member today. I want to thank all of you that are members, but if you're watching this on YouTube later, a lot of money was donated by people voting with their dollars to be PrisonPlanet.tv members over the years to buy books, T-shirts, films, you name it. Become a member. Support us. We're working our butts off 18 hours a day. I know I am most days to bring you this information. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Become a member. It takes 1 minute to sign up. Get the July issue with the 10 bumper stickers in it to wake people up in your area. America has been occupied by globalist forces. Bumper stickers like that. Take action. Buy the ProPure best filters out there, 10% off, promo code WATER. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Vote with your dollars. We're not the criminal globalist and the federal government that come with a gun to your head taking your money. If you believe in what we're doing and want to help us get the word out, you know we're working the hardest of anybody out there. Donate, support, buy the products, InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And then we're a platform to support all these other patriots and liberty lovers, whether they be real liberal progressives that mean well, that don't like the corporate tyranny, or whether they be super anarchists like Kokesh. We're here to have a real debate, a real discussion. Me, I'm a constitutionalist that knows America was the best system ever and that our founders were geniuses, and I want that system back. And then if we get that, then we can have a free platform to even get rid of that. But you're not going to do that until you kick the New World Order out. That's not going to happen until you've done that. So, again, that's it for this extended edition. Great job to Paul Watson doing the news segment. And, again, if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, become one today. If you are not sharing your membership with friends and family, do it. Put it in an email. Say, here's your free membership to PrisonPlanet.tv. Go check out these films now. And that's how we're going to reach more people. It is so easy. Print up your username and passcode on our cards. Give it to friends and family. And then if 11 people start tuning in at once and you can't log on, go, thank God. Wow, I've got 11 people watching the show. And go get another $5.95 membership. Keep it for yourself or share it as well. It's incredible what you can do by you taking action. The individual is king when the individual stands up. Alex Jones signing off for another edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.